Oh, hold on. Shit.
Oh, man. The anxiety, the hype, the excitement.
Welcome to Married to Who, a podcast where a couple of couples watch Doctor Who for the very first time. My name's Jake. With me are Alex and Jill, Cody and Sam, and Terry. This week we're here to talk about Into the Dalek, written by Phil Ford and Stephen Moffat, directed by Ben Wheatley, aired August 30th, 2014. Cody.
Thanks, Jake.
What'd you think about this one?
Yes. Oh.
This is why our episodes are an hour and a half long.
Stop me whenever.
It's a binary, like yes or no. Yeah or nay.
But it's like a hard I really want to like it, but I hate it for the wrong reasons and I like it for the right reasons. It's too chaotic, man.
You just described yourself and your relationship with this show.
Kinda. I can't call it good, man. I'm trying so hard to be like, yeah, it was great. It's not. Some of the acting was terrible, but I love Capaldi, but Clara and the weird like little romance thing with the sort of tiny tie-in to the story with the Dalek and the good Dalek and like we're just trying so hard to identify the doctor in his struggle right now. And
it's, Sam,
I thought it was an episode. I do really like the story of the good Dalek, not really good Dalek. And I actually really liked the love story of Clara and whoever this other guy is. I thought it was just kind of fun.
Mr. P.
Danny P.
But the story was not what I had hoped for, I guess.
Jill.
Liked it because I felt like it was leading to a story arc, and don't tell me if I'm wrong, please, because holding on to that hope, because there's a lot of different plays that could have been a story arc of the season just in this one episode. I also thought there's just like a lot of little detail that I really liked that we don't always see in every episode. Like we see a lot of just ideas thrown out and not really tied together, connected, or followed through. I just thought there was a lot of detail in the episode and I really like that. There is also, I love the quippiness, of course. So that made it really fun.
Like Capaldi's quippiness? Or like yeah. Everybody in particular?
He just has all these Capaldi. All his one-liners that are just so flat. I love, like, that is my kind of humor.
I fucking appreciate it.
Derry?
I really liked the message that they were trying to portray in it. Of is the doctor good? Is he bad? Like, what is he? And just how you see it from many different perspectives and angles. But I feel like it could have been told better or through a different method rather than going into a Dalek. I mean, I liked it, but it could have been done different. So it's not a good episode, but I like the message.
Alex?
It was fine. It wasn't like a great episode for me. I liked the doctor in like doing what he does and then seeing Clara as like a person and not just a companion. Like that was kind of neat. But yeah, I don't know. It was like they're trying to hit on a topic, like a sensitive like topic that people should talk about, but then just kind of missed. I don't know. That's what I felt. I also don't know what the relationship between like military people and citizens of the UK are like. If it is like it's in America where they're somewhat
nothing
celebrated.
Is like what it yeah, is in America.
Like I didn't think it was. So there's a lot of like weird like soldier, citizen stuff. And then like the parallels with the Doctor and the Dalek again of, you know, they're both soldiers, but is the Doctor good or bad? That kind of thing.
I guess I should, like, when I say that, what I mean is there's no country that's as nationalistic as the States are. Like,
yeah,
the bombacity of our national pride is unmatched. I do not mean to say that the UK doesn't have pride in their military or respect their soldiers, because they absolutely do.
Yeah. It's just the one line that Clara had that was just like, whoa, okay, it's going to be way different, was her line when she like first met Pink, and she's like, oh, so you just shoot people and then cry about it? And it's like, oh, shit.
Well, thanks for asking. I enjoyed this episode more than I thought I was going to. On this watch, it's not one I typically rewatch when I go through this season, but it does set up a lot of stuff. There is a season story arc that is brought up and begun in this story that's kind of hard to latch onto until you see the whole thing. But it's more to kind of Sam's point about really liking the Dalek story. It is a 15-minute story in a 42-minute episode. And so there is a lot of just kind of other stuff that, you know, you can just appreciate for being fun or be like, well, this doesn't mean anything, so fuck it.
There were some huge jaw-dropping scenes in this episode, which I feel kind of tie in with Capaldi's Doctor.
Are you talking in writing, like the script, or like technology, like as in CG?
Well, let me lay the mortar for my foundation here. Remember, if you will, a scene where a gentleman has upset the immune system of the Dalek, and
antibodies.
The antibodies, yep, and is destined to die, according to the Doctor. The Doctor, in previous iterations, I've always come to expect, will do whatever it takes to at least attempt to save somebody. Capaldi takes an extreme logical approach to saving everybody else.
Here, take this pill.
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty nuts.
That was jaw-dropping when he said the line, he was already dead, I'm trying to save us.
Yeah, wow. I don't think that's super unique. I think we've seen things that are very similar, if not exactly the same. Unquiet Dead comes to mind.
Okay, what in Unquiet Dead?
Where Gwyneth was already dead in that archway and is going to light the match that blows up the mansion, and the Doctor kind of very callously allows it. Or it's not the same, and I can't think of an example that's exactly the same, but I don't think it's a huge leap for any Doctor to have done the same thing. If it's an instance like this where it's a Dalek, so you have to begin under the assumption that it's the Doctor's most dangerous foe and his most well-known foe. And so if this person's already been designated for death, the Doctor would know right away there's absolutely nothing that can be done. And yeah, maybe Tennant or Smith would cry about it while they die and be like, they're always brave. But also, like, we have shit to do. There's still five more of us.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think what you were saying right at the end, Jake, is coming off of Smith, like Smith, we would have gotten the pouty lips and like wet mouth crying like over that scene.
Oh, I already miss the wet mouth crying.
Yeah, and Capaldi, it just like happened and he's moving on. Like it was a very different, like, extreme ends of the spectrum. Right.
Well, and then you get the amazing line of he's probably the top layer if you want to pay your respects.
So dark. Oh,
my God. Don't get me wrong. I am absolutely enthralled and in love with Capaldi. And in one episode, he's like already on track with being my Doctor, like my number one. because that quippiness that Jill was talking about is outstanding and it sings to me. Oh, also,
that's interesting.
Yeah. The not to get philosophical or nothing, but if we're going to have this like binary definition coming from the doctor for what makes a Dalek good, which one, having the doctor say that there's like some sort of concept of good and the doctor like kind of bending to these guys saying that we could use this Dalek to save everybody. Here's my general expectation is the doctor's like, you're insane. This thing will do nothing but kill everything around it. This is stupid. You will all die. That's my expectation coming from the doctor about the Dalek, where he was like, oh, okay. So instead of killing us, it's killing them. I'm going to define that as morally good and we'll do this.
Well, he needs a little nudging to get there, but I think that's, it's, he's kind of like resisting hope because hope is painful. And so if there's a good Dalek, I don't think it literally means, oh, we can use this Dalek to just kill all the other Daleks. I think it means if there's one good Dalek, there can be more good Daleks. That means there's something in them that can be exploited to, you know, turn around their basic primary function.
Yep. That though, like in the timeline of this episode, seems like the ends justify the means. Like that was a determination that he found later on.
Well, I think why he's so cross at the beginning is because he's resistant. And then in the middle, he gains hope because he gets yelled at by Clara. And then at the end, his hope is taken away because he realizes he was right all along.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you were saying too, Cody, about the doctor's concept of good, it was also brought up in this episode because the Dalek straight up, like when they were mind melded or whatever, the Dalek was saying he sees so much beauty and the doctor was thinking he's seeing the good things, but he was really seeing all the terrible like war things.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, when the Dalek said, you are a good Dalek, like that's, you know, it's all perspective, I guess.
So, and right, that scene was so wonderful, but I hated it. It was like the concept was amazing, but I think the direction sucked. I wanted it to be so much better, but here I am complaining with no answer. Like I don't know how to be like, this is how it could have been better. But
no, it's just very simple and doesn't have any like big revelatory things. The direction is amazing. Ben Wheatley's one of the best directors Doctor Who's ever had.
Okay. It seemed more the Doctor was like talking to us, the audience, and less to the Dalek. Like I wanted like maybe like a side by side where there's the Doctor on the left and like the Dalek on the right, and he's like, please see something more, please see something better. But it just seemed like he was talking to me and I was like, bro, like I see it, it's beautiful, I what do you want? And the Dalek's
I notice this a lot when I'm editing our podcast. I don't notice it in real time, that we often do talk about the director like making a choice or doing this or that. In the episodes written by Stephen Moffat, he writes in scene direction into his scripts. And he's also the showrunner. So things like that you would put on the writer and not the director, because the writer in this case is also the boss. And this is only co-written by Stephen Moffat, but it is very much written by Stephen Moffat.
Yeah. And like, I don't want to point fingers and say, no, this was bad. It just didn't work for me.
But just stuff like that. And, you know, talking right into the camera, very specifically, just kind of cackles up a bit because going forward, Stephen Moffat kind of falls in love with that. And we're going to see it a lot.
No.
I was not a big fan of it.
No. Steve, no. That's fine.
But we get the best example of it two episodes from now. So maybe you'll change your mind. Hopefully.
I hope so. Like the idea that it was great. Like just the, yeah, no, That's why I have such a hard time with this episode. It's a great episode. I just want it. No, I want it different. Serve me different. I want this episode on a different plate.
I honestly really liked it because to me, the whole message of this, episode in particular is all about perspective. Like Alex said earlier, in that there's a lot of eye imagery as well, of like Clara's shirt has a bunch of eyes on it, and you do the passageway to enter into the Dalek through the eye, which that was a really fun scene.
Oh yeah, it was.
And then like you had like this giant Dalek eye looking at the Doctor, and just face to face, like all of these different views, and then just the internal struggle of asking Clara too, of like, am I a good person, and going like, I have no idea, and seeing it from the Dalek's perspective of like, hey, you are a good person, but like, no, I see all of your hatred for the Daleks. So it throws that question there of like, is he a good person or not? Because to me, Capaldi as a doctor doesn't really deal with emotions very well, and that's why he's so short with a lot of his dealing with the humans, things of like, Ross just died. And it's like, well, who cares? He was going to die. We need to save each other. It's like, let's keep moving. Like, why are we crying about this now?
Well, he doesn't say who cares. He says we can mourn him later. We're busy right now. Like, that's different.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in the situation, it happens a lot in this episode. Like, when it comes time to things happening, like he is just on ball of just going like, let's survive this, let's get through this as best as possible, let's figure our way out of this, and then deal with the aftermath afterwards. Like when Clara comes in smiling about Mr. Pink and stuff like that, it's like, why on earth are you smiling? Like, what is there to smile about? Let's keep moving.
He does seem really emotionless. I see where you're going with that. And even the asking, like, am I a good man, that repeated theme throughout, or am I a good whatever he says, that's like, I mean, a question that probably people ponder, but like, he really does seem clueless about it, like can't put the emotion behind himself.
And just the fact that Clara couldn't even say yes or no, like, right. She should know the Doctor pretty good at this point, but I like her line where, well, it's like, as long as you're trying,
right? This is her. Like, she hasn't seen him since the last time we saw him. So that previous episode ends with him going to get coffee. And then this is 2 weeks later when he finally shows up with the coffee. So he's still very new for her, this iteration of the Doctor.
Right.
I just mean, it's not like there's any adventures we haven't seen, you know, that Big Finish or books will take care of later.
I think Jill was talking about the story arc earlier, and I am absolutely in love with their injection of the story arc in these episodes. It's so fluid, and it's just like,
oh, the heaven stuff.
Yeah, every time. And you just like hear Missy's voice, and it's just, welcome to heaven. And you're just,
and
like,
this one was even shorter than the last one,
because we just like go from, we all knew she was gonna die, and we're like, yep, she's dead. And then we watch her die, and we're like, okay, she's dead. And then boom, welcome to heaven.
Yeah, we like saw her transition from life to afterlife, in, you know, versus the last guy.
Also, they've done a phenomenal job transitioning the death blasters of the Daleks, the effect on the human body.
Well, those are the antibodies.
No. The beams.
Oh, you mean the
actual skeletons.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it used to be so bad, and now it's great.
It's still super cheesy.
I love in this one that the Dalek is able to fire quickly, like bam, 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 instead of like, boom, spin around, boom, spin back around, boom. And every shot has like a 10-second reload.
They've upgraded.
I miss the snake tongue from the classic Who. There used to be a little snake tongue that would come out of the blaster.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, in classic Who, like a little thing would pop out of the blaster, and then they would just invert the color of the image. So the black and white would be white and black, or whatever you call that for photography.
It would just go negative.
Negative, yeah.
Yeah, the negative, that's the word I was looking for. And then they kept that going even into when they started shooting in color.
One of my biggest problems with the episode is a really small thing, but I think it made a big difference to me. I thought the reveal of being the Dalek was one of the coolest things ever, and I so wish that that wasn't the title of the episode. It would have been so much cooler if we didn't know like exactly what was happening.
But speaking of the reveal, I also really enjoyed that because the cold open just ends with Doctor. Mm. And you're like, oh, it knows who he is. But it turns out, as you find out later in the episode, he doesn't. And I thought that was really good writing.
I wonder now, like, do they know now? Because he kind of mind melded with that Dalek.
No, they said in the Matt Smith's last episode, Time of the Doctor, that they got all the information of the Doctor off of Tasha Lem's mind when they took her over.
It would have been like a very interesting aside if the Doctor like broke to Clara that, by the way, the reason these Daleks have no idea who I am is because of you.
Yeah.
But
that they had to have had that conversation at some point, because it, after the name of the Doctor, she did the thing, and so she knows about it.
These last few episodes could like basically be just Clara, Dr. Clara.
Well, yeah. This also maybe some of the negative attitudes we're having towards the story is that we had a season finale, a 50th anniversary, a Christmas special, and a premiere. And now it's just like, okay, business as usual. Yeah. And we just haven't had this in a while.
I think, too, we just need to get to know the Doctor.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to get to know the Doctor in these giant dramatic stories where there's tons of action and whatever. Like, this is how we're going to get to know the Doctor.
Yeah. Getting used to Capaldi is going to take a little bit of time for me.
Yeah, big story arc episodes, Jill, you're absolutely right, aren't going to reveal the character to us. Those have to be preserved for when we know as much as we need to.
So, Sam, just full disclosure, when I first started watching, I got to this season, and I think I maybe made it halfway, maybe almost to the end, and I just stopped watching Doctor Who for probably a year and a half. And then Jake kept watching, obviously, and was saying it was getting really good in the next season. So then I picked it back up, and after rewatching it now, I do like it better now. But yeah, it did take me some time to get used to it.
He's just such a different character. Yeah.
He's so different. Flat, well, I say that, but.
And not fun.
I think he has elements of Eccleston's Doctor.
I'm not saying not fun in a bad way. Two. I'm just saying not fun as in he's not Smith and goofy and dumb.
Right. I like the flatness because he still like has such good delivery in his lines. And I think it really brings out Clara, which I know she won't be the forever companion, or I'm assuming.
She star a lot more in this.
Yeah, I think it'll be nice to just see that balance too of like she's just so dynamic and bright, and having that contrast of just kind of a flat, dry Doctor. I like that so far.
Yeah.
Capaldi's deadpan responses to her are phenomenally funny. They're just all great. They're rude and mean, but
when he's like, you're not as young as you used to be, and she's like, or you're not a young woman anymore, she's like, I am, and he's like, oh good, keep your spirits up.
Or how do I look? Boring and round? What was it? Something in round.
Short and round.
Well, and then when they were crawling through the thing, he's like, how are you doing back there? It's a little tight here. And she's like, if you say anything about my hips, like, nah, your hips are fine. They're nice and narrow.
You're built like a man.
There are people that really have a problem with that, because that doesn't exactly stop.
There was a lot of Clara shaming in this.
Well, and that's one thing, is people think of it as him like putting down her appearance. Don't see it that way. I see it as him kind of not seeing her in that kind of way. And it'll be touched on more and we can talk about it later, but I just want everyone to kind of keep an open mind about that, because there are some lines that are weird, but if you think of it as he's just like
an alien,
he doesn't see her as like
sexual.
I don't want to use the word like a sexual being, but he doesn't see her as like a physical object, and or we'll just talk about it later because it's going to come up.
Well, Capaldi's character. Go ahead, Alex.
It's almost like he's thinking of her like Strax. Like, it's just kind of aloof, and yes, it's a being, but he has no idea like what they're supposed to look like.
Moffat loved Strax constantly calling girls boys and boys girls because he couldn't tell the difference.
Now
he doesn't have Strax anymore, so he's like, well, the doctor can just do it.
I like that type of conversation that he has, like that play of the shaming and stuff like that, because to me it's endearment, because that's how my sisters and I talk to each other, is that we'll just make fun of each other, but we know that we have enough like tough enough skin that we know that it's all in jest. Which, like, when they do have their banter back and forth, she has a smile on her face. It's not like she's taking it personally at all, so it's not affecting their relationship in a bad way.
That's what we call chatting with the boys. It's just, there's something that I don't know if there's a like a term to identify it, but like masculine culture, when you're talking to each other, is to belittle, and that brings you closer.
To bust chops.
Bust chops. It's inexplicable. Like, that's a real thing. And
we do that shit all the time.
Yeah, I don't know why it's such a positive thing in a masculine environment, but it is. And that's what it seems to be. So, I mean, I'm on board. But, like,
I think there's a the body there's a portion dysmorphia. Of fandom that interprets it as negging. And so they interpret it as, like, a dude, like a beta male, trying to get laid by telling the pretty girl that she's ugly.
Oh.
Really? How do you get that vibe? That's crazy.
From the time he told the pretty girl that she's ugly.
Multiple times.
You could tell when someone's doing that type of thing. Like, there's...
Oh, speaking of calling girls ugly,
let's get into it.
Soldier Blue's hair. Dear God, it looks like someone found the worst goddamn wig in the makeup room and was like, let's put it on her. Like, her bangs are everywhere.
She
had a stupid side-ass ponytail. It is like a rat died on her head, and they were like, she's a soldier now.
We've been in a pandemic for 2 months, and my hair is all over the fucking place, and she's been in a Dalek war for years. I think we can let her slide.
No, I literally
had a straight line across a forehead.
I was eating a sandwich, and I had to go shave my mustache because I couldn't eat it anymore without getting hair in my mouth.
Oh,
and like, I can't imagine like how long she's been in this war in that cockpit specifically.
Yeah, how long her mustache her mustache? Great. Oh, god damn it, Jake. My joke. That she can.
Speaking of Journey Blue. I love the opening scene when she wakes up in the TARDIS and is threatening the doctor, and he just yells at her, just says, no, try again.
Yes.
Nope, you're not doing it right. That entire scene I absolutely love.
I really enjoyed that.
The
as
opening
well.
Scene was probably, it's, yeah.
Jake, yeah, the opening was really good.
Well,
I'm listening, Cody.
But it's Jake, it's great. Yeah, Sam ruined it. It's gone. The feeling's gone. It's gone. Jake, listen to me. The cold open was fucking great. The scene where...
Even when he goes and gets Clara and he's like, you know, 2 weeks late. And he's like, well, I got busy. And she's like, or I got distracted. And she says, by what? And he goes, I can always find something.
I need to pause for a second to adjust and get my phone because I dropped it a long time ago and the puppy is sleeping under me, so I didn't want to move.
Wait, this is best case scenario. Jill doesn't have her phone? No. Unpause. Go.
Yeah.
It has my
continue
notes.
Continue not having your phone.
Assholes.
No. It's time to freestyle, Jill.
No, I need the quotes.
Freestyle.
Well, one of my favorite parts in the cold open, I believe it's the cold open. It's smaller on the outside. Yeah, it's a bit more exciting if you go the other way. That was so good. Loved
it. Definitely on my favorite lines list.
Been there, heard that. So yeah, going but it's back to the Clara
because
thing,
she's like, going from the inside to the outside. Like it has a proper, like it works. Like when Clara did it in the snowman, it's just like Stephen Moffat would be like, oh, aren't I clever? But like in this incident, it actually makes sense.
Yeah, because like she never saw it from the outside first.
So going back to the Clara stuff a little bit about the like whether he's belittling or just being, you know, I don't know, just not seeing her. I saw it as he was just not looking at her as a physical whatever.
Same.
So I didn't have a problem with it. But I did note that I was way to go Clara for making a first move. So I don't know. I think they're just like making Clara a more dynamic character than like just being a female figure in the background.
The fact that they write Clara in as not being offended by anything here makes it. Like if she was.
Can you imagine if that was Amy?
Oh my God.
Or even Donna.
I was just about to say Donna. Boy, what would she call him? Old man. Oi.
Codger.
Oi. I'll have you know.
That too, I wrote down this line from Clara, you're not my boss, you're one of my hobbies. Like, I think she throws it back to him just as much. Like, that could be pretty offensive. Not that he's trying to be her boss, but also saying you're just a hobby. Like, I don't know. I think that's just their banter.
Yeah.
I thought that was more endearing. It's not like, oh, you pay me to be here. I want to be here with you. You're a hobby.
Well, and it's to pay off the joke of when she does something awesome later for him to be like, I don't pay you.
Yeah, he says it multiple times, and it was funny. I did like that ongoing joke.
Yeah.
I really liked the when she was talking to Mr. Pink, to like inviting him out and stuff like that, of just the playing back and forth of when he was by himself, of like, you should have said this, and like, oh my God, how bad am I?
Yes. Ha ha ha. Yes. Her as a character is just exuding confidence. She's spilling it all over the place. She's got that BDE.
Oh, for sure.
And it shows.
Yeah, it is nice to see that. I think Martha was kind of close to having that, but we never got a second season, so we didn't get to see her confident in her space and time traveling. She was kind of a confident person in her personal life, but with the Doctor, it was a little different. I think if she had a second season, it would be a lot like this, where Clara is just like down to party.
And conceptually, it's hard to see it any other way, as Clara is everything that keeps the Doctor alive in all of time and space. So,
well, she wins. Again, refer to our 50th anniversary or our Name of the Doctor podcast. That's not exactly right, but okay. Let's do them tweets.
Tweets.
I'm pretty sure Alex took notes on how to do the songs.
No, that one is immediately top five.
No. He was just like staring at his phone, and earlier he was asking me what he should do for the song, so I thought he had notes on it.
No, I was just making sure I didn't forget anything I want to talk about.
It's like, never mind.
Write the note down of
needs more guitar. But like with the bottom three strings? Yeah, that was really good. Like, round of applause for Alex. Everybody
thanks,
in the
guys.
Crowd, round of
thanks,
applause.
Guys.
Snaps, because I only have one.
Good job. That was, yeah. Oh, goodness. Fun facts.
No, tweets.
Tweet.
Wait. Are we on fun facts or tweets?
No, that was a fun facts theme song.
Okay. We're doing tweets. Fun fact, we're doing tweets.
Fuck.
All right. @Ode_Ollie @Ode_Ollie. For some reason, his tweets came at me in a weird order. So if I screw up the order of this, I apologize. I know season 8 isn't always full of the greatest episodes, but for me, this is a good one. For me, it sets up 12's character arc so quickly. The man who has someone to care so he doesn't have to and will sacrifice people to save others, but doesn't want to. Oh, sorry. But wants to do good and worries if he is. Clara being a teacher at Coal Hill, I love. Now we've had both First Doctor both first doctors of their respective cycles having a Coal Hill companion. The references to classic who are always appreciated. Speaking of, as simple a gag as it is, Clara being left in Scotland while the doctor goes off very much mirrors Sarah Jane being left in... Where was she left in? You, this is like the one classic episode you guys watched.
It was really far away.
Yeah, she was left in a faraway town. Yep.
I can't remember.
Was it Glasgow? No.
No, it was like the very north of the island. Anyway.
I feel like it was a shire of some kind.
Yep, it was the shire. also got a big Fourth Doctor vibe at Genesis of the Daleks. That will be on... There will be a reason for that, and we'll get to that in fun facts. This arc is very much one of my favorites. Very curious if the Marrieds have any theories about Missy yet. As for favorite lines, am I a good man? You try to be verbatim. It's obviously magnificent, but I'm also a fan of Rusty's beauty, divinity, hatred line to the Doctor. We didn't talk about Rusty at all. Continuing the idea that the Daleks can show who he really is. And what he means here is that the Daleks are always a reflection of the Doctor, and that's how you find out the true character of the Doctor is through the Daleks. Not as big a fan of 12's rejections of soldiers. It's fitting, but I think it's written too forcefully for the Doctor. I felt it's more to mirror Clara and her friendship with Danny.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Does that come back, the soldier hatred?
Felt really forced.
It was just in this episode.
And excited for the Marrieds to see the rompiness of what's coming and can't wait for their reactions.
Rompiness?
Uh-oh, he doesn't know Cody yet.
Excuse me? Wait, I've already decided that Capaldi isn't a rompy doctor. What?
There's no romp in this show,
Romp. Oh, he can romp? I gotta see a Capaldi romp. Well, maybe I like Capaldi romps.
Well, we're one episode away from it, like the next one.
Ooh.
Remember when they went to the episode A Good Man Goes to War and he like talks to the soldier all nice about how they ran together or whatever?
Yeah.
He didn't seem like he didn't like soldiers then. This just seemed really out of place and awkward and weird.
Well, you're not allowed to go look, but I had a conversation with some of our Twitter friends today about that very subject. And you're right. It is kind of put in. I think it's pretty easy to see that it's because of the introduction of Danny Pink that maybe we'll see some friction between Clara's relationship with two different men in her life.
Oh, we'll see some friction. Sorry, internet.
Gross.
I'm not
Vanessa.
I'm not
McNamara. Sorry. Vanessa, shut up. Vanessa McNamara, Vanessa MC23 says, despite his knowledge of the Daleks, he... Oh, is this the one that came in a weird order? Hold on.
Speaking of shut up, there was no shut ups.
Yeah. Jake?
None?
I don't think so.
Oh, there had to have been one in there somewhere.
None that stood out to me, not like the last episode.
Oh, yeah. So Vanessa's the one that came in a weird order. Okay. Vanessa McNamara at Vanessa MC23 says, when it first aired, I did not like this episode. At this point, I was still mourning my doctor and did not see the twinkle and empathy I was used to. I did grow to love Capaldi, and so I liked it more on rewatch and was able to get a clearer picture of the episode as a whole.
I agree. That's a good point.
I am already heartbroken that Capaldi is going to not be the doctor. Like, I see his regeneration, and I'm broken and torn.
All right, I'm sorry, Vanessa, but the rest of these are going to be in a weird order, so I'm just going to try to get the gist of what they each mean. So the episode's a little above average, and I will rewatch it. I'm not a huge fan of Danny Pink, so that didn't help. But I'd like to end on a positive note. So this was the last tweet. There's more to come. Capaldi eventually turned into one of my favorite doctors. It turned out to be a joy to go on this journey with him. She also says, the doctor often gets caught up in the moment and his arrogance can sometimes get in the way. The doctor is not perfect and the development is part of the journey you go on with each new doctor. Despite his knowledge of the Daleks, he's somewhat of an optimist, always hoping for something different. What I did find jarring is that he seemed to care more about the Dalek than the humans who died. It's slow in parts, but the concepts are interesting. I like the shrinking process and how the Daleks are used differently, especially the end when the Dalek turns on its own kind. That the Doctor wanted to find good in the Dalek didn't surprise me, but the Doctor can be arrogant and get caught up in the moment. He's not perfect, and eventually I come to love this Doctor and the time we got with him and his particular journey. A pretty good episode.
I agree with McNamara as well.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I kind of feel the same as like after rewatching it, because again, like I said, this kind of season turned me off for a bit because it was so different from Smith, and I started Tennant into Smith, and after rewatching it, it is just it's good. It's a good episode, and you can kind of focus on that instead of what was a little bit more.
Janelle Hobbs at J. Christine H. says, I liked it more on first watch than later ones, although I still think it's a brilliantly directed episode. Story-wise, I don't get why people are so upset by 12's rudeness. I mean, besides being more blunt and forward-focused, he isn't that different from other Doctors. It's not like 9, 10, or 11 didn't make rude, inconsiderate comments at times. The only difference is the perspective of the storytelling. Most of those times the companions were in on the rudeness, or it was accepted because the moment was dressed up much sillier. Sometimes people argue those Doctors were acting out of character or pushed into it, but that's not really the case. Rudeness and snark is a frequent trait of the Doctor. Even 5, often considered the nicest Doctor, is way, way more rude and snarky than people remember.
That brings up an excellent point. Yeah. Like some previous Doctor, Tennant and Smith, especially when they were rude, there was like this level of grandiosity, which I'm sure is a word, like grandeur, or like
maybe they like laughed through it so it didn't seem as serious, but
well, it was
the
just
words
so
are the same.
Big and plucky. God, yeah. I wish I had an example here, but just like everything Matt Smith did.
Well, like when Matt Smith tells that Colonel that he wants to issue or tell your people to run away. I want children at your door saying this is the home of Colonel Runaway. Like he's, and then, you know, Matt Smith throwing that woman into a star and that girl into a mirror and that kid as a scarecrow for the rest of time.
That was David Tennant, Matt Smith.
Yeah, good point. Janelle. Yeah.
She ends by saying the real problem is that Moffat lays on this soldier hate way too thick this series. Agreed. Although it is sort of understandable as the Doctor just spent centuries fighting a war on Trenzalore that he didn't expect to live through. It was basically Time War trauma all over again.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
He does
make a lot of sense.
That which you kind of explained in like the American nationalism, but from like an American sensibility, his kind of like disregard for the soldier lifestyle, or like I don't know what I'm saying here, but his dislike of the soldierness is, it makes sense because of that now. That
well, and his first interaction with Journey is she pops up from being unconscious and pulls a gun on him and says, take me back to my ship. And like that alone, he could just say, I don't really think you're what it takes. You don't have the right stuff. But instead, he just says, I wish you hadn't been a soldier.
Yeah. Yeah. Solve my problem with guns. This is a weird way to define a soldier. But if you look at the way the Doctor runs the show inside the Dalek, tell me that's not like some military captain in combat. Like,
oh,
Higgins
the
is dead.
The Doctor's the best soldier.
Yeah, right? Like, we're moving on.
I definitely thought that was going to be more of a story arc with the soldiers. Like, I thought he was going to be, like, exploring his soldieriness, and that's why he's so bitter. So I'm disappointed that there's not more soldier stuff.
Like, that callous, forceful, forward progression in leadership is militaristic as it gets.
Chris at Actual Mountain says, it's a rare treat you get a brand new Dalek idea, and while this one doesn't always hit the mark, it's still brilliant in its own ways. Don't be lasagna and she cares so I don't have to are two of my favorite Capaldi lines.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it isn't universally loved. I have a soft spot for it. Amazing episode all around.
We didn't even talk about lasagna, Jake.
We're keeping it for lines, obviously.
I have like an important point here. I think it's important to me. And I hope
do it
you
now,
agree.
Cody.
So the Doctor says, what happens when you don't cut a hole in the film on top of the lasagna, right? Is that right? Is that verbatim?
Verbatim.
Okay. It's important that that's verbatim. So does that mean that we've all agreed that the natural assumption of the cooking of lasagna is done in a frozen package? Because that makes me sad.
That's how Terry cooks.
Yeah, this is definitely like a frozen microwave lasagna.
Like, no.
He's the doctor. He got time for that shit. He's not rolling out pasta.
He out there microwaving his lasagna.
He's cooking chickens in his flux capacitor.
What?
Yeah, and that took like 300 years.
Oh, the turkey. That's right. The turkey, and then he uncooked it.
Turkey's done.
I always imagine the TARDIS to just be like on the Jetsons where it's like bloop, bloop, bloop. And then it gives you a meal.
Ding.
Weird to think that you would have to cook.
Classic Who did that.
During, the first Doctor's time, they had a machine where they would like pull out what kind of looked like a chocolate bar and they would eat it and be like, oh, it tastes like Thanksgiving dinner or whatever.
I would have said a bouillon cube, but sure.
Well, they would break off a piece like you would a Hershey bar where it's cut into squares. So for 6 years, Alex and I have had this inside joke about lasagna because of this episode. And over the years, it's become exaggerated. So when referencing Peter Capaldi or this episode, we'll just be like, lasagna. And just say it to each other and instantly start laughing. Because him saying lasagna is the funniest line in this episode.
It's like... Yes. It's like the director had to take him off to the side and he's like, okay, Peter, I need you to sound this out for me. Okay, we'll say it together. Lasagna. And then he just screws it up over. And the director's just like, fuck it. Do whatever. Lasagna.
You do you, bro.
Which is, his last name is Capaldi, which I don't think I'm exaggerating in saying that that seems to be a very Italian grassroots type name.
He's going to bring that up every episode, how Capaldi is Italian.
Hey,
we're two for two.
Peter Capaldi, he knows how to say lasagna.
Oh, that throat noise.
It's just great because our mom likes to make lasagna and our grandma did too. And every time it was made, Jake and I would just go lasagna. And oh man,
I am continuously blown away by the sheer like differences in accents throughout the United Kingdom, where here in the United States, for some reason, I have this concept that there's two accents.
Hey,
there's
watch that video I just sent you.
All right.
I sent Cody a video of like an American accents expert. It's like half hour long and there's like 90 different accents in there. Well, and it is insane. We live in a bubble.
You've got the Fargo accent and the Southern accent and the Boston accent and then the Valley Girl accent. That's like your four quadrants for sure.
But they break up like the difference between Tennessee and Georgia.
Yeah.
Like it, and then like different Texas accents and Southern versus Northern California and shit like that.
Yeah. I suppose the thing I want to say is it may seem like I'm making fun of these accents, but I'm completely enthralled by how different people can say the same thing.
Cody loves accents. He watches YouTube videos on who's that guy?
Jake knows.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why I posted the video.
Yeah.
For Cody.
Yeah. I don't actually know his name, but
anyways, he breaks down like accents from movies, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cindy, not that Cindy, at Needs More Yarn says so many memorable lines. Top layer, if you want to say a few words. I'm not a good Dalek. You're a good Dalek.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know, but I think you try to be, and I think that's probably the point.
Yeah, those are. Let's see. Yep, those are all great.
That, Go, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
She says, not about the episode, but I'm very impressed with Jake's ability to not give away clues about future episodes. I would not be able to do that. When I'm listening to your podcast, I'm constantly blurting out answers to obvious questions.
Right? That does baffle. I feel like our frustration is testament to your ability. Like, that means you're doing it right.
We're, like, poking the bear constantly. We're like, is this? Is this? Is this? It would be fun to be on the other side knowing exactly what it is and just listening to people be, like, thinking through.
Well, that's kind of what this has turned into. Like, we started it with the hope that because we started it when the 13th Doctor began, that people would come to the show and want to go back and watch from the beginning and they could watch along with us. That has very obviously not been what's happened. And our listeners tend to be people that are watching it with us or just listening because they've seen them so many times they don't need to watch them again. And, you know, that's just what it's become. And
I think it's great. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really become really cool. The insight that people give us is really fun.
I think it's cool how many people love Doctor Who so much that they're willing to rewatch and sometimes rewatch with us and comment back.
And like listen to a podcast.
Old episodes. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
In that same note, like a lot of, I don't read Twitter anymore because Jake was saying like there's people are spoiling, so then I made it an account and I don't read Twitter anymore. But a lot of folks on Twitter do a really good job in their tweets. They don't actually. I keep forgetting that Jake omits like people spoiling
all of the
stuff.
Answers.
I do, but then I also like kind of for the first time today I kind of egged him on by actually like having a conversation about something. And that was with Janelle and Odiali. And so with those guys, I'm like, yeah, we can, let's just chat about this for a second. Because one of them made a point, the other one responded to it. And I was like, oh, I better get in there.
We're all going to, the whole crew is going to meet up in Dublin. Everybody prepare your ticket for 2021. The
Dublin, Mary, January
Mary
2021.
January.
Dublin
is that
trip.
The plan?
Is no, but that's the thing you posted was for January flights.
Well, I'll go have a pint.
And I looked up like weather patterns in Dublin. It's the same temperature all year round. It's just always 55 and windy.
Oh man, my kind of place.
That's literally the best. Except for everything about
it. That's all winter, Cody. I can't wait for it to be 70 and sunny. I can't wait for it to be 70. It's going to be so nice. It was 70 yesterday. He complained so much about the heat.
There seems to be a difference between a winter 70 and a summer 70, okay? And like Jake's just going to have to delete this anyway, but we're going to get into it here real quick. If you set your temperature in your house in winter to like say 68, it's a nice toasty 68. If you set your air conditioner in summer to 68, you are fucking boiling alive and it's not good enough. Like,
no, you were cold when it was 68
like,
today.
Like, fuck off. In the summer, the sun is 10 times hotter than it is in the winter because it's shining right on your face for 10 hours. It sucks.
It's also closer.
I set my heat in the winter at 68 and my AC in the summer at 71.
65 and 70.
Right, yeah. Well, maybe I didn't explain it appropriately, I suppose. But yeah, you just a little bit of cold. And it's the sun that's shining, that it'll be 70 degrees as like an aura around you. But the fact that the sun is shining makes your surface temperature 125
when you're like
degrees.
In a vehicle and the sun's on you, that's the worst.
Right.
We turned our AC on to 68 today and had the vent open in Pod Baby's room. And it was 65 when we checked while he was sleeping. I was like, ooh.
Right. I've had all my windows open because it was pretty breezy today. And just all the blinds closed, and it was like 64 in my house all day, apart from like maybe a couple hours in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
We don't get that nice of a cross breeze. It never gets that, it never stays that cool in our house during the day.
Our house is too jagged.
Fun facts.
I see Alex went up and used the other three strings.
The next one is just going to be all just like lead solo. Just
man, I was looking at my notes and realizing I didn't read a single one of them.
Oh,
oh shit.
All right.
Let's have
again,
a Jake's notes theme song.
No, they're not worth it. The only thing I kind of considered was Journey Blue asking to come with and being told no, but we kind of talked about it.
A little bit.
Again, Rachel Talalay directed Missy scene because Ben Wheatley was unavailable, which makes me think that both this scene and the one from last week were shot at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense.
And the writer, Phil Ford, who gets a co-writing credit with Stephen Moffat, I think he said this in the Doctor Who fan show, which was a YouTube show that came out when the episodes came out, which is now dead. He said that when he wrote this story, he didn't know who the actor was that was going to be playing the Doctor. And so he wrote it for Tom Baker, the fourth Doctor, because that was just his Doctor. So he just wrote it in the voice of the fourth Doctor. And there, if you know the fourth Doctor enough and you watch this thinking about that, there are lines where he says that when you're like, oh, that's Tom Baker.
Neat.
That one's not from the TARDIS Wiki. That's from my memory.
Ooh, Jake's got a memory.
I like to look at the actors, see if there's been anything I wish to talk about, specifically Game of Thrones, Doctor Who, Harry Potter, or Star Wars. Michael Smiley played Morgan Blue, the uncle of Journey Blue. He was also Seedleson in the Creatures of Beauty, a Big Finish audio drama. He's also Dr. Evazan in Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and Baxter in the Black Mirror episode White Bear.
Wow.
That White Bear, if I remember, was a really good episode.
I don't remember.
White yeah, Bear it's the only the one we ever talk about.
The one where she's like trying to run away from all the videos and then it ends up being because she was a criminal, right?
Yep, yep. Yeah, it was a punishment for a crime. Yeah, I see.
Samuel Anderson, who played Danny Pink, was in Emmerdale, a soap opera, at the same time as Jenna Coleman, but they didn't have any interaction. He's also in Gunpowder Milkshake, a movie coming out next year or later this year, which I'm super excited for. It's a movie starring Karen Gillan and Lena Headey, and it's like an action movie with the two of them just kicking ass, and I guess he's in it, so I'm excited for that.
Why does the name Lena Headey ring a bell?
Cersei Lannister in Game of Thrones.
Ah, that's okay.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Who's the bad guy? Is Pink the bad guy in that movie, you think?
I doubt he has a very large role at all.
Oh, I was going to say, he could probably play a really good bad guy.
I agree.
Michelle Morris played school secretary. She was also Brenna in the first Doctor Adventure story, The Invention of Death. Nigel Betts played Mr. Armitage, the head teacher. He would reprise this role in the Doctor Who spinoff, Class.
Class?
How many Doctor Who spinoffs
are there?
What's that?
How many Doctor Who spinoffs are there?
For New Who, 3.
Oh. I was going to say.
And Class is fucking awesome, and it got one season and got canceled because nobody watched it, but it was great.
Can we watch it?
Yes.
Okay, I will hold off on that.
Maybe after this season.
Okay. Like, there's one episode of Class where it's like, remember when the 14th Doctor?
The Doctor pops up in the very first episode and that's it. So, yeah, go ahead, knock yourself out. I take it back. No, you have to wait till the end of next season.
The end of next season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going back.
That's what everybody else did, too.
Oh, no. Rip.
Barnaby Edwards was the Dalek operator for Rusty. He was a Dalek operator 15 times. He's also been involved in 137 Big Finish Doctor Who audios as either an actor, writer, or director.
Wow. Busy bee.
That is a fun fact.
Yeah, he's big Doctor Who guy. Ben Crompton was Ross. You'll know him best as Ed or Edison Tollett in Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Marcus Elliott was a soldier uncredited. He's in 16 episodes of Doctor Who, mostly as soldiers, dating all the way back to the first series. I think he was in the finale of season one. He was in the finale. And this show, which he's in 16 episodes, are his only IMDb credits. Same with Ian Hilditch and Mickey Lewis, who are soldiers in this and are each in about 19 episodes of Doctor Who. And they're in a lot of the same episodes together. So I wonder if they're like part of a crew or a company that gets hired on, whatever. Well, normally when you see these kinds of things, those people also have credits as like stuntmen or something like more blue collar jobs on these sets. And then they're just like, oh, when we hire this company to do this job, we'll just grab these guys and throw them in. Like, put a uniform on him. He can be a soldier. But that's it. They're all, these three guys are just in these Doctor Who episodes.
Wow.
Alex, give me the favorite lines theme song.
Skiddly diddly 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 favorite line.
He did it. He said he was going to do it, and then he did it.
All right, go.
I'm not a good Dalek. Boy. You're a good Dalek.
Yeah.
I didn't say it right.
Oh,
jeez.
Good one.
Got him.
Oh, we didn't. Okay. I wrote this note down. It might be a favorite line, but I don't know if I get it. What was the deal with the bolt hole pun?
Yeah, I don't know if like a bolt hole is something in a ship, like a.
Is it slang or something?
But then
in the
it's
UK?
Like also...
Or is it this just a play on words of butthole? Like bolt hole, butthole.
Oh, I would believe that.
It is Moffat.
My life has changed.
No, obviously you're wrong, Terry. it's a place where a person can escape.
Oh. I want to believe Terry's right, though.
Oh, so the,
that's what I got out of it.
So the pun was they're escaping through a literal bolt hole that also means a place to escape to.
Yeah, so it's not
yeah.
Even a
so
pun.
He's like, okay. Hey, we can get out through this bolt hole, and then when he removes it, he's like, oh, it's actually a hole for a bolt.
Oh, like you're bolting.
Like
oh
you
my
leave.
God.
Yeah. Surprise.
Jesus.
Yeah,
we
everybody
all got it.
Nailed it.
I think it specifically in its origins refers to rabbits.
Huh. Okay. Well, not picking that then. Okay. the whole scene, any remarks about my hips when they were crawling through the thing? That was great.
Oi.
Oi.
I have Clara, and she said, I'm his care. And the doctor goes, yeah, she's my care. She cares so I don't have to.
Yes. Yep. I vote for that one. I just love that line. The delivery, everything. I love it.
That's a deadpan line that I could get behind.
Yeah.
I really like that one.
Like screams Capaldi. It's got everything. It's got the deadpan. It's got the knee slapper.
I really liked the once they welded up the radiation leak and Clara just asked, like, is that it? And he comes in with an anticlimax is sometimes good for my hearts.
That was good.
And then I really just love the question, am I a good man? Like, there's just so much weight in that.
Oh,
scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, there was one other scene that I also didn't know what they were talking about. And I don't know if I'm just missing something as easy as bolt hole.
It was lasagna.
No. Lasagna. It was when Pink was talking to the secretary lady, and oh. She's like, what'd you do this weekend? And he's like, just did some stuff. And she's like, I bet you were. And
oh
she did it like
gosh,
six
yes.
times.
It's because he's
like
attractive.
You.
So yeah, they're assuming that he's out fucking.
Oh, I thought
so
they were being
like,
racist.
Oh, I just.
Oh,
no,
what?
No. When he's like, oh, I just hung out at home. She's like, oh, yeah, I bet. And then he's like, yeah, I just did some range. She's like, oh, I bet you did. What she's meaning is you're out just pounding puss.
Is
oh,
that
okay.
what they
That's
call
what
it these
girl
days?
Was implying as well, too.
Oh, really? Jeez. All right. I picked that then. That's the line I'm voting.
All right. I've got a couple.
You got a couple of couples. Ayo.
Boo.
Oh.
In the opening scene with Journey saying, no, not like that. Get it right. Just the way he delivers it. I love it so much.
Yep.
Sassy. A rude sassy.
It's a bit more exciting when you go the other way.
Yeah.
And then this line, when he first sees that it's a Dalek, just the way Capaldi says this, and it's a nothing line, but he's so good at it. And he says, no, you don't understand. You can't put me in there. And he's like so menacing, and it's great. A Dalek so damaged has turned good. Morality is malfunction. How could I resist?
Very good lines.
And then talking to the military says, imagine the most evil thing in the universe and then don't bother because you're looking at it. And then at the end, I gave it a shot. It didn't work out. It's a Dalek. What'd you expect?
On that quote, like the level of defeat, or maybe not like defeat, but just like the hope that was crushed in the doctor when he said that line.
Well, and then the five finger realization from Clara to the doctor, that was pretty great.
Yeah.
Fucking wake up.
Terry, please tell us your point before we drain it out of you.
No, it just made me think of the Journey Blue when she was talking to Clara about her smile. And she's like, what? Isn't there a person who puts a smile on your face? I'm like, yeah, my brother. He just burned to death like a couple hours ago. So he's really letting me down today.
That was rough. God, then she just like walks away.
That line was so poignant. And just that was a jaw dropper. That was another one of the jaw droppers where I'm like, did she just fucking say that? It was huge. That was, yeah. Good one, Terry. That one was a great line. So he's letting me down today.
Vote. Any other ones? Oh, okay.
I believe
lasagna.
I voted. Oh God, we're in now. We're on the inside of the lasagna show.
I'm also
show.
Voting.
I mean, that is actually my favorite line, but I'm not voting for it.
Boo! Vote with your heart, Jake.
Mine is the Clara one with
Carer.
She's here to
She's my care. She cares so I don't have
she
to.
She cares so I don't have to. Yep.
I'm going with top layer if you want to say a few words.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Oh, God. It's, yeah, yeah. I changed my vote.
You can't. It's written on the whiteboard. It's over.
Okay.
Terry?
I'm going to have to go with the non-funny one and go with am I a good man?
Yeah.
It's fair.
Profound boy.
I want to vote for two this time. There were a couple really good lines.
There were. Yeah. Somebody mentioned it in tweets, and they were right, 100%.
The I am not a good Dalek, you are a good Dalek is so good.
Mm-hmm. The way he says it, you are a good Dalek. And then everybody's like, wait.
Well, and then there's the dichotomy of the meaning. He's saying, like, you are good at being a Dalek, or you are a Dalek who is good. Like it's kind of ambiguous is exactly what he means.
Yeah, he's not a good man, but he's a good Dalek.
Mm-hmm. Chill.
I did. Lasagna.
Oh, it's a tie between lasagna and whatever the Duathel said.
Well, the lasagnas have it.
We'll give it to him for the lulz.
Lasagna wins. Alex, give me the MVP theme song. Terry, who's your MVP?
I am going to go with the doctor.
Peter Capaldi?
Yes.
You always do this. You always say a character name instead of an actor.
Because I like the character. The actor is good, but like the character of how he was written in this episode was really good.
Right. The actor is just...
Well, then he should pick the writer.
Well, no, wait.
Not necessarily.
Well, if you say you like how the character was written in this episode, then pick the person who wrote the episode.
No, I'm picking the character.
We have this argument
Fine.
Every
Peter
time.
Peter Capaldi. There.
I'm just curious what you mean.
I picked the person.
No, I just want to know what you mean. Do you mean the writer? Do you mean the actor? Or do you mean the amalgamation of the two of them together?
Well, not the writer, because the rest of a lot of other parts of it were not good in my eyes. So, like, the writer failed in some spots, so he's not the MVP in that aspect, but like he did write the doctor character really well, and I liked the character, so that's why I chose the character out of it.
That's very fair. And I think if I were to guess, I would say that the things you like the most about this were written by Phil Ford, and that the things that connect the characters to maybe what the rest of the season is about, you know, the not liking soldiers, the one scene with In Heaven. Those would have been written by Stephen Moffat.
Okay.
Cody, who's your MVP, bro?
Thanks, Jake. It's lasagna.
Just the food is your MVP.
That's no, it's
the frozen meals.
It's Peter Capaldi.
What, Sam?
Do I need to explain that? Okay.
Jake's going to hate me, but I'm going to go with Clara because of her character development throughout this episode. As we talked about, she really, with the doctor being so deadpan, she really got a chance to shine more brightly than I think she has in the past.
So is it Jenna Coleman or Stephen?
Character development. Moffat? I just said that. Open your ears.
But that's Jill. Not a P. That's,
I'm going that's an Jenna MVP. Coleman. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep.
She did it.
Alex?
I'm between the doctor and Jenna Coleman, or Peter Capaldi and Jenna Coleman. I feel like Capaldi did a lot more for this episode because I'm kind of with Terry where like the story just seemed blah, but the doctor, Peter Capaldi, gave it like he was really trying.
He was. Yeah, that's a good definition.
Turned a C into a B. I'm also picking Capaldi. I was torn between him and Ben Wheatley, but I picked Ben Wheatley last week. These are his only two episodes, but Capaldi is amazing in this one.
Turned a Capaldi into a Bapaldi.
Damn it.
Alex, you are the reason he is the way he is.
I need this reward though. Don't ruin this for me. Thank you so much, Alex. I appreciate you.
Alex, give me the paper cup and theme song.
Wait.
No.
Wait. No.
Did anyone notice that Jenna Coleman changed into a red dress at the end?
Oh my God, just let her go.
Terry, I will never let this 20-minute conversation of the red dress go.
Stop trying to push Terry out of my podcast, okay?
I think I edited out most of that conversation when it happened. So,
oh, boo.
No, I think Sam told me I didn't. She listened to it.
It will forever be a joke.
It is the meme.
Okay.
But now you can go. It did have a lot of like tear holes in the front of it. Like, did not look like date worthy.
Oh, I really liked it.
True. I agree with Terry on that sweater.
I mean, that jacket was bomb. But
everything.
It's just a drink. It's casual. It's there's no commitment here.
Yeah, I bet there isn't.
There. it's just a one night dealio for Shelio. Save me from myself.
Song. This is Rumor Dudes episode on whatever this was called, Into the Dalek. If you would like to listen to this podcast in any way other than you are, you can listen at marriedwho.com, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. If you want to participate in our social medias, you can follow us on Instagram at marriedwho. You can follow us on Twitter at marriedwhopod, or you can email us at marriedwho@gmail.com. On behalf of myself, Jake, Terry, Alex, Jill, Cody, Sam, thank you so much for listening. And please join us next week for Robots of Sherwood.
You didn't do the build up at the end.
It's Robot of Sherwood, not Robots.
Oof. Yeah, Phantom's never gonna get you.
You guys want to guess what that one's about?
Yeah, it's about robots. Cybermen,
but
in Sherwood.
That's when it was robots. Now I don't know about a singular.
Just imagine Capaldi philosophically dismantling Robin Hood's rob from the rich bullshit.
What?
Don't worry about it. There's a cave.
These robots better have some robots, am I right?
Hey, choo-choo. So-
So you guys seem to really clamp down on the Sherwood part, or the robot part, but not really the Sherwood
part.
Yeah,
I can't, hello, it sounds Peter... familiar, but I don't know what that's from.
Wait, did I say Peter? No, I said Robin Hood.
You sure did.
I said Robin Hood. I didn't say Peter Pan. I said Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sherwood. You're what? I was right. I was, my thumb was on the pulse of that
Asherwood
name.
Sherwood Williams.
Whoa. It's a paint store. It's a paint monster.
First of all, Sherwin Williams.
Oh, shit.
Second of all, leave the songs to me.
Check out this picture from next episode.
You're fired.
Hey, guys, a red dress.
It's a red dress.